Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
And we're talking about the massacre that took place at the hands of a deranged mind in Texas, a Texas grammar school, where Salvador Ramos shot 21 people, locked into the classroom for about an hour. But we're talking about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a gun problem, it's a God problem. I'm looking at an article that touches on that. We'll cover this, then we'll take a moment, and we'll have a conversation with 2 of our sons about this issue. This article says it's not a gun crisis, it's a spiritual crisis. Frederick Douglass proclaimed, "It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." Countless grieving parents and even America's overcrowded prison system would likely give a hearty amen to that sentiment. This article states further, "In the absence of building strong children, there are far too many young men referred to as the lost boys. Chicago is a prime example of that, with a murder rate that exceeds anything in a third world country. International bureaus of terrorism are even now today warning American citizens are too dangerous to travel to. Godless relativism is starting to feel like a funhouse house mirrors that we've fallen through. We've lost our way in a sea of horrible ideas. Heartbreakingly, mass killings like these have become all too commonplace in modern American culture, often carried out by demented, angry young men. And I'm sorry to say that as tragic as these senseless mass killings are, we look for such actions and acts to continue absent of faith in a loving God and respect for enormously high value he places on human life, made in God's image. Gun control will not solve this societal problem. Had a few more adults been in the little school, they would have been armed. Fewer children would have perished. America does not have a gun crisis. It has a spiritual crisis, and it's worsening every day. Much is being said in the media about mental health and such mass murders, and fair enough, but very little is said about spiritual health resulting from one's thought life. Simply stated, we become what we think about. The owner's manual, the Bible, says that as man thinks in his heart, so is he. One of God's immutable laws is that nature can't abide in a vacuum. So remove God from God and God's love, and a godless, dangerous worldview rushes in, often one that doesn't choose life in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Further, this article says, these now commonplace tragedies were unheard of when God-fearing greatest generation was being raised up. I know it's a relic of the past, but I'm old enough to remember when we put our hands over our hearts, cited the Pledge of Allegiance, read the scripture, and then bowed our heads in prayer, and the desk work started then. for the states. Life has been inexorably cheapened in the hearts and the minds of young people, and educators uniformly insist that they are byproducts of some random cosmic accident. They are taught that they are a space junk with no purpose, no meaning, no future beyond the subjective here and now, and perhaps selecting a gender that they choose. Another hideous betrayal of this generation. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a gun problem. It's a God problem. It's not a matter of whether or not more guns would resolve the situation. It may or may not in some cases. But I'm against the gun control taking away the Second Amendment or in some way infringing on our Second Amendment rights. Ladies and gentlemen, I have two of our four sons on the line that we're going to have some dialogue and discussion for the balance of this broadcast this morning. We have Glenn and Greg. Glenn, go ahead with your comments and your thoughts, and we'll let Greg comment on that and respond to it.
Just a couple of points of clarification. I was listening earlier, and the assault weapon, the actual name has been drummed up by the media to include anything that looks scary or was former military weapon. An actual assault weapon in the military is a full automatic weapon. And that means you pull the trigger and it just keeps on firing. It could be a belt-fed weapon. It could be a magazine-fed weapon. But the general public does not have assault weapons. They're not full automatic weapons. Every time you pull the trigger, you get one shot. You have to pull the trigger multiple times to get multiple shots. So if the media has demonized and the Democratic Party has demonized an AR-15 because it looks like an M-16 and it looks scary. It's a semi-automatic rifle. They have semi-automatic shotguns. They have semi-automatic hunting rifles, if you follow what I'm saying. And to say it's a military weapon and we shouldn't have military weapons, well, you just eliminated every weapon. The military has knives. The military used to have revolvers. They used shotguns. Then they went to semi-automatic pistols. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those items have been used throughout American history for self-defense. Some of the very weapons that we have may have been originated in the military, but they went into private use for protection. So if everything becomes labeled by the media as something we can't have, what's next? They want to take away the shotguns. They want to take – they want all the weapons. They want all the weapons.
And that's the bottom line, yes.
I've said this before. They have criminalized knives. Okay, I said this before. Go to the kitchen. Your kitchen's probably full of knives. All right? Everything, including a screwdriver, is illegal in England. So the bad guys steal weapons – to assault and kill people. They get in a vehicle. They drive over innocent victims. We've been seeing this. The next point was the red flag law. It's very dangerous ground because if someone, like the other fellow mentioned, if somebody goes, hey, you know, that person threatened me or he's scary or I know he has a gun, they can come up with anything. So Trey Gowdy's response to this, I think it was 2 years ago, he says, what other constitutional right can you take away and then petition the government to get back? All right. What other right can you take away? You know, your First Amendment, you don't have free speech until we say you have free speech again. You don't have the right to practice your religion until we say you do again. But you have to petition the government to get it back. What other constitutional right are they after so much? So this Second Amendment privilege that we have as American citizens, it bothers the people who want to control not only weapons, but our free speech. The reason we have a Second Amendment privilege is to protect our right to free speech. Otherwise, a tyrant can step in and crush us. What has happened in areas like Australia? Okay, they took all the weapons. You know, there was pictures of them picking them up with huge magnets and dropping them in the garbage bins and then cutting the receivers in half. It didn't matter if it was an antique or what. They took them all. So on the heels of that, people who were hit with machetes, baseball bats, or stabbed went way up because the mindset, the murder mindset, is going to use anything and everything as a weapon. So the red flag law is very dangerous ground. When someone has documented mental issue that can be actually brought in a courtroom so that someone could take action, this particular fellow apparently was not only making threats to do something, but they knew, other people knew something was wrong and nobody stopped him. Mm-hmm. Okay? Someone could have stepped in. The fully automatic weapons or anything that has a suppressor on it, or if it's a short-barreled rifle, it requires a $200 tax stamp per item and an extensive federal background check. Okay, so people aren't running around with machine guns. If they've got one, they've manufactured it illegally, or they've stolen it from someone who had it legally. Let's see, what's the other thing we covered? Violent crime across the nation is way up, way up. I was watching something from Tucker Carlson this morning, and he goes, what's the issue? It's not because we have too many guns. Gun ownership across the board in households actually went down. It went from something like 45% to 36%. Actually went down since the 1980s. So if we have more guns than ever, okay, where are they? All right, they're not running around killing people. People put their fingers on triggers and use a weapon for that, or the baseball bat, or the hammer, or the knife. As 25 years of police service, I've seen a wide range of assaults and attacks and murders. I tell you what, your FBI statistics will bear out that an AR-15 is used in less than probably 0.5% of all murders and aggravated batteries.
That's okay. Right.
But it is the one demonized and identified by the media and the Democratic Party that wants to take away your weapon. They'll take this one, and then the next one, and then the next one. All right? So if the person doesn't want to own a firearm, that's fine. Me, as a former police officer, if I see something transpiring, I'll protect my neighbor's life. Okay? If I'm at the gas pump and someone is being robbed or assaulted or potentially harmed, I can use my weapon to defend them and myself and or my family. The state statute in the state of Florida, it says that I can intercede with deadly force to protect my life, the life of someone else, or prevent serious bodily harm. The problem is, unfortunately, it becomes an emotional issue to the sheep. The sheep, when they finally realize that the sheepdog has teeth, they're afraid of the sheepdog. That sheepdog doesn't need teeth. We eat grass for a living. I'm saying we've turned a logical discussion into an emotional discussion, and then they don't realize they're giving up their own right for self-protection. And that is what the media and the Democratic Party and those who want to restrict gun ownership or revoke it, they don't want to restrict it. They keep saying restrict, but they want to revoke it. They don't realize they're putting their own neck in the noose to battle with the wolves with no weapons.
That's right.
Sheep has
Glenn, hold your thought for just a minute. I'm going to ask Greg to jump in. Greg, how do you respond to some of the statements and what we've covered and the position that you take on that with some of the issues that we're faced with now and the push from the federal government and others with the hair on fire that we need to eliminate the Second Amendment rights?
Well, the President of the United States wasted no time. I should say the resident of the White House wasted no time in making this purely political. Rather than a call to prayer for a nation that's in sorrow, families that are in sorrow, 21 families at least that have someone that they've lost in their family, rather than calling a nation to pray for these families and the extreme grief that they're experiencing today, I would say, you know, that's a focal point for Christians. Do that, you know, as well as acting. But when you start praying for the grief of those families and that the Lord would be there with them and that Christians around them would reach out in love and care and compassion, you need to realize you're not going to stop praying, because this is a normal weekend on the south side of Chicago. Please do not tell me that these 21 lives matter, and they do, but the lives lost on the south side of Chicago and in New York and in D.C. and in Seattle and right on down the list, that those lives don't matter, because this is a normal weekend on the south side of Chicago. And as far as the Second Amendment, this thing, I am so thankful that now some of these nitwits are being honest in front of the camera. I think for a while Michael Moore played the, oh, we just want common sense gun control. Michael Moore's saying, no, we need to repeal the Second Amendment. The nitwit running for governor in Texas, Beto, Robert O'Rourke, ran his mouth the other day at a press conference that was not at all designed for him, but he wanted some attention. He wanted to create a splash. This is the guy that says, you know, heck yeah, I am coming for your AR-15s. I'm coming for your AK-47s and this and that and the other thing. Glenn's already articulated how few lives are taken in association with or used when folks are using those weapons. More folks are killed by hammers in the United States, blunt objects in the United States, than killed by particularly the AR or other long repeating rifles. And stepping back again to the Second Amendment, at the time of the Second Amendment, and it wasn't put there, you know, to go hunting. It wasn't put there to defend yourself against thugs. Those are secondary benefits. The Second Amendment there was there recognizing a God-given right to protect ourselves against tyranny. So the same government that's becoming tyrannical today wants to try to tell you that you may. your Second Amendment rights. They're going to legislate away your Second Amendment rights. That's ridiculous. I think one of the most interesting things is that we have an ATF nominee now, this Dettelbach guy. I think he's been approved. In any case, Steve Dettelbach, that literally could not even answer the question from Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton what state's he from? We got Arizona or something. Could not answer the question, what is an assault weapon? You know, Glenn's defined it from a military standpoint. From an ATF standpoint, there's no definition. You know, from a legal standpoint, there's no definition. It's a made-up term, and they want to say the guns that look scary are assault weapons, whereas the exact same function of those guns is found in many, 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 many hunting rifles. But it doesn't matter. The Second Amendment covers all arms, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right to keep and bear arms by the people shall not be infringed. How you like that?
Greg, you're exactly right. And touching on the point about it's not a gun problem, it's a God problem, I was so impressed with the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton said, and I quote, "We have a spiritual problem in America. We must turn back to God. We must seek God's face and confess our sins and ask him to heal our land." And he quoted, then he went back and he said, that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And he went back and quoted that again. He said, what America needs now is to turn back to God, confess our sins, and ask God to heal our land. And I believe that that is the key to what we need to do today, is to recognize that this individual that committed the massacre with killing 21 people, there's a little that we know about him. That we know about him, I'm going to cover this very briefly, then Glenn, I'm going to ask you and Greg to respond to a question about it. I have just outlined very briefly, out of scanning over dozens of articles, he worked at Wendy's Hamburger, his fast food place, and he talked down to others, according to management and his coworkers. He had just shot his grandmother over an argument about not passing and not being able to graduate from high school. He was said to be a loner, not associating with others. He liked to dress in female clothing, putting on lipstick, eye makeup, etc. Appears to have had some sexual dysphoria. He dressed in black and displayed himself in a black outfit on social media. He had posted on social media that he was going to shoot up an elementary school. Ramos bought two rifles for his 18th birthday, and he'd shown them on social media. Ramos was wearing body armor as he rushed into the school and began to shoot. All evidence points to the fact this was a planned, premeditated massacre of 21 people, including 19 children, ages 7 to 10 years of age. So, Glenn and Greg, this is the question. Would there have been any additional law and any additional gun laws, any additional gun restrictions that would have prevented this? As I understand it, he passed the background check. He got his weapons legally under the laws that we have in America. He premeditatedly decided that he was going to go in and slaughter people. What was the cause? What promulgated this? Was it the gun? Was it the two weapons? What promulgated it? Glenn, speak first on this, then we'll go back to Greg. Mm-hmm.
I believe it was already in his mind what he was going to do when he purchased the weapons. There's all these different conflicting reports as to whether or not he was bullied in school or was a bully. I saw an article this morning where they interviewed one of the fellow students, and they said the guy was not bullied. He was a bully.
Yes.
He was torturing and killing animals and was not a nice person. He would go out and try to pick fights. It's interesting how we're getting so many conflicting stories. But let's go back to the Florida state statutes. Under 790, Florida state statute 790, it encompasses all of the statute for weapons and firearms and that such a thing. And there's a particular statute subsection that covers possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. And you go, wait a minute, convicted felons aren't allowed to have guns. Well, there's a statute for a violation of that, which is possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, because they still break the law. To answer your question, Was there anything that could have prevented this? Not on the law side. In fact, you couldn't even manufacture a law, come up with another law that would have prevented that. If they had armed the teachers, apparently there are multiple schools in Texas where the teachers and or staff members have been trained and are authorized to carry weapons. Apparently 30% of Texas schools have armed teachers and staff, but Robb Elementary was a no firearm zone. So if they had the school resource officer, I'm hearing now that they did, but apparently he waited for about an hour or so to get additional help. What would have prevented this? If they had had teachers or staff members or someone with the presence of mind to take on the attacker, they could have prevented this and the fact that they waited so long. The state statutes are in force. We have U.S. code, your federal statutes and state statutes nationwide, but predominantly the felons will go around the law. They'll break the law. They'll steal weapons. How do you prevent this? Well, you arm the victims. If the victim is not armed, they're going to be a victim. In fact, the average gunfight is over in 3 to 10 seconds when the police are only minutes away. Let that sink in for a minute. Okay, do we run down to the store or call somebody to bring us a fire extinguisher? No, that sounds crazy. You should have a fire extinguisher or at least access to water or something to put out a fire. It only makes sense. So who are you going to call? If there have been multiple code 3 or whatever you want to call it, lights and siren, all the way to get to a hot call, all right? And it was over pretty much when they called us, armed robbery. Okay, by the time we get there, the bad guy's gone, the money's gone. Hopefully the victim hasn't been seriously injured or killed. But if the victim had a firearm to protect his or her life, then they could have interceded on their own behalf and not have to wait for somebody to bring a weapon to fix this. In England, this is the big joke. In England, their bobbies, their law enforcement, walk around with a whistle and a billy club. And if it looks like it's going to be an escalated or armed confrontation, they call for a special unit to bring firearms to the scene. Well, you know, in about 10 or 15 minutes, somebody with a firearm will show up and I guess protect the policeman that had a whistle and a club. That's how insane it is over there. Yeah. That's what they want here. Go ahead.
Glenn. Or Greg, let me ask you this question. I understand with the latest report that they did have a police officer, school policeman, or school resource officer, as they call them now, on duty. And he saw the man rushing in. He chased him. The man, the killer, the murderer, the mastermind, entered. And the school resource officer waited outside for almost an hour. During that hour, this thug, this massacre person, Salvador Ramos, was inside shooting everybody in that classroom. What was the cause of that? Why would the police or the school resource officer not do anything and waited until somebody got there that could do something? Is there any benefit in having the school resource officer on duty if they do not have the authority, if they do not have the ability, if they are going to run from the fire rather than running to the fire? What would be the cause for that, and why would it have been 1 hour's lag between the time the thug went into the building and them neutralizing him?
I could speak to that really quickly. They did the same thing in Columbine, and that's what changed the rules. In Columbine, yes. The training up to that date was to basically secure a perimeter and wait till you get a team that can go in, all right? And that's why so many people died in Columbine. The rules changed. The training changed. So the question has to be, if they had the school resource officer there, did he have sufficient training? Did he have the ability? And third, did he have the mindset to take the action? Was he in good physical and mental condition to be in that position? Is it someone who had retired or maybe was too old or too big or too slow or just didn't feel adequate to engage without help? And waiting for that length of time, more people died. The shooter barricaded himself in the fourth grade classroom, and apparently that's where the majority of the victims were, right there. Okay, so the off-duty Border Patrol agent, apparently seeing that no one was making entry, he made entry. He approached and was able to kill the attacker. He took a bullet or two himself. I think he was wounded once or twice, but he was able to put down the attacker because nobody else was taking action. In Parkland, they did the same thing. The guy that was the school resource officer waited, and he knew, he saw, he heard, but he was scared to death to take action, and people died.
That is, I think, the crux of the matter here. Greg, we've got a few minutes left on the broadcast. Let me toss it over to you. As I recall back, and as you know, I'm still less than 100 years old, but back in school, when we'll get to school of a morning, we'd have the Bible reading. Students were given assignments of scripture memory. We would stand and recite our memory verses. We would have prayer in the classroom. The teacher would lead in prayer. We would then have the pledge to the flag, and then we would get down to the academics. In fact, in school, when I was in school, the Ten Commandments were part of your academic process that you had to memorize the Ten Commandments. But our children today are in governmentally controlled schools where there's indoctrination and brainwashing. And this young lad, 18 years old, is a product of the public school system where the teachers have no Bible. They are forbidden to have the Bible. They do not teach creationism. They teach the students that we evolved from a blob in the ocean, that we're just creatures that evolved. There's no Bible reading, no prayer, no Ten Commandments, nothing taught in our schools against the immoral jungle that we're in. Conversely, the sodomite lifestyle is taught, the LGBTQ lifestyle is taught, and everything that's antithetical to morals and ethics and values. In your opinion, Glenn, Greg, would this have had anything to do with this young man's mindset, his background, his training, not counting or discounting, if you will, his, I understand he spent hours and hours online watching massacres and murders online. Speak to that for the balance of our time.
Well, when the culture no longer recognizes humanity, humans, people, as image bearers of our Creator, when life is no longer respected, these things become more accepted, tolerable, and to be expected because there's no respect for life. Abortion clearly has taken 63, 64 million folks in this country, hundreds of millions beyond. It's truly infanticide. You have now euthanasia and more countries calling for folks that are no longer working. They're elderly. They're consuming resources that they just kill themselves. I mean, it is perverse. But that comes from a culture that denies God, denies humanity, people, as image bearers of our Creator. And again, I believe it was John Adams that said something on the order of this Constitution is only fit for the governance of a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other. It's something along that line, and it is so very true. Once we've lost our moral mooring, our anchor, then everything goes crazy. We saw that over the past 2 years, the release of tens of thousands of criminals across this country. The excuse for tens of thousands of criminals burning down, looting towns, bailed out by our current administration, folks in our current administration, Obama and Harris and others, bailed
Greg,
out.
Why? Greg, you're exactly right. And so it boils down to, as Ken Paxton, the Attorney General for Texas said, we need to turn back to God, seek His face, confess our sins, and ask God to heal our land. Glenn, Greg, both, we love you. Thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.